I went and voted yesterday, early voting. We had a bunch of people who did. I heard about some people. My neighbors waited an hour and a half in Cato to vote. Stephen waited 2 hours in Oswego to vote. I drove to Finger Lakes Mall in Auburn. It's one of the polling places for Cougar County. I waited 10 minutes. So I went through and voted. I want to encourage you. We believe this is one nation, what? Under God, indivisible. Do not let politics cause you to lose your Christian testimony. Amen? Because someone doesn't agree with you doesn't mean they're the Antichrist. All right? And whether you want to vote liberal, shame on you. And whether you want to vote liberal or you want to vote conservative, whatever you want to do, you have that right here. They said, we are citizens of far greater country. Amen? If you're saved, your home is heaven. Amen? Amen. I will read my text in a moment. But I watch people, they're really nervous. You know, it's like people on the conservative side, if he doesn't win, the nation's dead. People on the liberal side, if she doesn't win, I'm leaving the country. They never do. We don't die, right? But people, you know, I can't imagine being an atheist and go through this type of stuff. All right? Okay? You don't have anything to hope in. You don't know how it's going to go. There was an atheist swimming in the ocean. All of a sudden, he sees a shark in the water, so he starts swimming towards his boat. As he looks back, he sees the shark turn and head straight towards him. His boat is a long ways off, and he starts swimming like crazy. He's scared to death, and he turns to see the jaws of the great white beast open, revealing his teeth in horrific splendor, and the atheist screams, "Oh, God, save me!" In an instant, time's frozen, and a bright light shines down from above. The man is motionless in the water when he hears the voice of God say, "You're an atheist. Why do you call upon me when you don't believe in me?" Aghast with confusion and knowing he can't lie, not now, the man replies, "Well, that is true. I don't believe in you, but how about the shark? Can you make the shark believe in me? I believe in you." The Lord replies, "As you wish," and the light retracted back into the heavens, and the man could feel the water begin to move once again. As the atheist looks back, he sees the jaws of the shark start to close down on him when all of a sudden the shark stops and pulls back. Shocked, the man looks at the shark as a huge beast closes his eyes, bows his head, and says, "Thank you, for this, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive." Amen. Okay, old joke. Done with the bear, done with the shark. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you take control of my mind and my mouth, the actions of my hands and feet. Father, they don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. So I pray, Father, for a fresh unction from on high, that your Holy Spirit can speak to hearts. Father, as there's confusion and there's distress and there's discouragement and there's anger, Father, not only about the political scene in this country, but also the strife and the wars in this world. Two major ones going on right now, at least, Father. And God, we pray that you would work and help us, Father, to know. Your word still says, "Be still and know that I am God." Help us to find assurance this morning as you work in our hearts. If there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, we pray today could be the day of salvation for them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. I almost was going to sing you a special, but I decided to spare you. So I figure I'll call John Wall up and we'll do a duet, because he said amen. If you're visiting, we like to enjoy each other. I said I'm going to call him up and we're going to do a duet, and he says, "No, I'm not wet," so it's bad here. 1 John 5, the title of the morning's message is Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. 1 John 5, starting at verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. If you have the right Bible, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I've had opportunity in my family for many, many years, even though I'm second youngest child. My family's old. Second youngest child of eight. For the longest time, I got saved early. My mom was saved. I led my dad to the Lord years later after he divorced my mom. And different things going, you know, everybody's got their own story. Everybody's gone through some things, okay? My family used to, now most of them, almost all of them are saved. It's taken years. Amen. It's taken a couple decades, but most of them are saved. But they used to laugh at Judy and I when we started out in our Christian walk after we got saved. But when problems would come, we'd get the phone call. Please pray. Because they thought we had some special arrangement with Jesus. I do. Okay, it's found at the feet of the cross, okay? So that's where it is, you know, we live in a day, and here it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. I want you to have assurance this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be talking about personal needs to you. But if you're saved, your personal needs are going to be different. But we're going to look at things you need to know, that you have the ear of God. He hears his children. I love to watch people. Don O'Brien's not here this morning for whatever reason, but he used to work at Walmart, and he'd pick on me because I'd go sit at the Subway, eat my sub, and watch people. Okay? And watch people ignore these kids whose parents weren't controlling them. And then I'd watch different times when someone would scream out and they'd go, "Mommy!" And not all the mother's heads would turn. Only the mother of the one who screamed, because they know their what? Child's voice. If you're saved this morning, the only problem you have with prayer is your Heavenly Father's not hearing your voice. And it's not because he's not listening and that he doesn't know it. It's because you're not calling out to him. Yeah, how many times in a time of confusion or uncertainty like we have today, in a time of danger or persecution like we have today, in a time of difficulty, whether it be physical difficulty, we've had so many sick. I look at there, I'm counting, there's 27 people missing from this section right here, either traveling or sick. Okay? Difficult times. People, sometimes it's a time of despair. You get discouraged. When you look around at this world, you get discouraged. Heather and I were talking. She's tired of it. She's had enough of the electioneering. I agree with her. I say I get probably 40 emails sent to me every day. I don't know how I got on both lists, but I get them from Kamala, I get them from Tim, I get them from Vance, I get them from every Trump in the family, okay? And then I'm getting them from the former United Nations. I'm getting all these things coming to me, and I'm going click, 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 okay? Because I vote policies, because both are faulty, okay? One I know is not saved, and the other is I think is not saved. And both don't live right. Isn't that amazing? That's America. That's America. You know, and so people, we get discouraged, like I said, and confusion, uncertainty, danger, difficulty, despair. You ever thought, if I just knew it was going to turn out okay, I could endure this a little longer. I could put up with this if I just had some assurance that it was going to be okay. People, I've read the back of the book 300 times. Guess what? We win. We win. It's okay. So there's a need of assurance in people's lives. If you're here this morning and you do not know that if you were to die, that heaven is going to be your home, you can know. You can have that assurance. It says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Am I putting a private interpretation on that or quoting the verse? What does it say? There's need of assurance, and there's three areas, primary areas, where there's a need of assurance. And the first one is personal needs. The need of salvation. If you're here this morning, your good works can't take you there. Your good intentions can't take you there. You being better than me can't take you there. You keeping almost all the law can't take you there. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The only prayer for an unsaved person that God will hear every time is the cry of a sinner seeking the Savior. Amen? It's a personal need. I want you to turn to Psalm 103. Get your fingers loosened up. Everybody, put your hands over your head. Okay, wiggle your fingers. I want to see it. Everybody, wiggle your fingers over your head. I want to see those. Okay, so now they're ready to turn pages. Okay, because I can't remember if it was Derek or Sammy told me about a pastor who assigned one of his deacons. He had this man who kept falling asleep in his service. And he assigned a deacon. You go sit next to him. When he falls asleep, you wake him up. And the deacon looked at him and says, you're the one who puts him to sleep every week. You wake him up.
Amen.
So, amen. See, we're one of those contemporary churches. No, I'm sorry. I'm nuts. I know it's okay. That's why I ask you people to pray so much for my wife. Psalm 103. Personal needs. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. People say, how you're doing? And I said, I'm vertical and I'm breathing. That's important, isn't it, Don? That's an answer to prayer. This morning I was praying. I tell Karen I was praying for her this morning. Okay? So many people out, so many people sick, so many people, they're struggling to get their breath. I don't know what this thing is. Okay? Because they're saying it's not COVID. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth? I love this, don't you? Amen. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Amen. They're gone when you give them to him. Amen. They're gone. When you come to him as Savior, he no longer sees you as a sinner headed to a devil's hell. He sees you as a saint declared righteous by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I keep reminding God about that. Okay? Every time I read that passage, I think of Dan Andre and his message on eagle's wings. Because the bald eagle gets to a certain age and the things crust over, their eyes get closed, their claws get weird and stuff, and it's like they're going to die, and then all of a sudden they have to fly to the sun, and when they do, that all breaks off. And they're renewed for many more years. See, but they have to fly to who? To the sun. So when you think you can't go on anymore, you know what you need to do? You need to fly to the sun as fast as you can get to him. Amen? renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The epistle of Paul, the church at Philippi, is a missions church, a giving church, a persecuted church. And he's trying to teach them personal needs. And he says, I know how both to abound and how to be abased, how to have what he needs, how to suffer want. And he gets through that, and he gets to verse 13, and he says, I can do what? All things. See, it's all things that God would ask of you. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you think you can't, God can. You know what we spend up? We look at, I'm 69. I know people, I'm not jiving to the music when I stand up here and I'm singing, but if you notice, I'm going like this. That's because I can't stand in one place because of my knees and my back. So I rock my hips and I'm moving. I'm not having a Pentecostal moment. Okay. I'm trying to relieve pressure. All right. I can't help it. But you know what? I can still move. I thank God for that. There's so many people worse than me. Do you understand that? So many people look at what they can't do anymore instead of what God would have them do. If you'd emphasize in, by looking to the sun and see what he would shine in your life, you could see what you can do. Everything changes, okay? Everything changes but him. And what I can do changes. But I can still do what he asks of me to do. And there's still a job for me to do. One of the jobs you can do through your whole life that people don't take serious enough is get on your knees and pray for others. When you pray for others and you see answered prayer, that just gives you assurance that, you know what? God's going to meet your needs. God's going to take care of you. He'll get you through. It rains on the just and the unjust. The sun sets on everyone, doesn't it? But God has a job for all of us to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You have personal needs. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Thou will compass him with a shield. You know what that is? Your own righteousness can't save you. When you got saved, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. He gives us his eternal righteousness. And because of that, then he wants us to live practically righteous before the world so they can see Jesus. Because God looketh on the heart, but man looketh on the outward appearance. So if you're a miserable, ugly old curmudgeon to everybody, do they see Jesus? No. That's what my wife just told me last week. No. I go to preach and Judy goes, Honey, I want nice. I want... Okay. So I try to be nice sometimes. You have private needs, the need of salvation and need of looking to the sun instead of looking to what's going on around you. You have public needs. Turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. After about 3-4 years that I had taken over the church from Pastor Christian, I'd already gone through $250,000 worth of surgeries. I had someone look at me the other day and they said, How many did you say you had? I said, 27. You know what you genuinely can do? You can do what you want to do. Okay? I don't care if it's in a wheelchair. You can do what you want to do. All right? And you go, 27 surgeries. I wouldn't be walking. And I says, I fall down a lot. But I get back up. You know what the Christian life is? Man falleth down, getteth up again. Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. See, that's where his righteousness comes from. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be what? Still. Sometimes we get so busy, we start moving, and we put our mouth in gauge, and we don't be still. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. God's going to shine a light on it. There's no darkness in him. Everything is naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time of their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell, what? In safety. You know what that is? That's an attitude of where you look for your safety. We get caught. It's human nature to look around at your circumstances. It's human nature to react to them. The Christian walk is learning not to react, but to be still, let God speak, and then you to act upon his promises. Amen? You still with me? Psalm 42. I love the book of Psalms. My wife and I read through it together. We read our proverb a day, and we read Psalms. You start off your day, men, reading the Bible to your wife. It works out better for you. Changes your attitude. Makes you more willing to cook for you. Okay. Psalm 42. You never know what I'm going to say. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? See, they're looking at the circumstances. Like I said, you're going to go through things, whether you're saved or lost. And they're going to say, where's your God now? Where he's always been. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Because he's looking too much at those people. Hope thou in who? For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. See, so you're supposed to do what? Hope in him, remember him. I will remember thee from the land of Jordan, from the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, my prayer unto the God of my life. You say, well, I don't necessarily experience that. What's talking about there is deep water. That's like Paul and Silas singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs while in the darkest part of the dungeon, chained to the walls. God ministered to him there. And because he was willing to glorify God, what happened with that? Release came when God could get glory. Still with me? I lean forward. I think it's my fault, the plug. I'll stand up. Okay. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, where they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. You have public needs. Okay? You have the need of safety. We saw that in Psalm 4. You have the need of not feeling alone, even when you're amongst others. Do you know that God doesn't want you to feel alone? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I am with you. I am in you. And I hear you. How many of you ever felt alone, even in a church group? Why am I such a misfit? Why don't I fit? All because my nose glows. I don't fit in. Looking at the wrong thing. Looking at the wrong thing. You have a personal need. You have public needs. For sake of time, we won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26, what you read there is all the lost are lost. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a public need. They're all lost. But in the same text, it says, all that come to him are redeemed. They're saved. Jesus said, all those that come unto me, I will in what? No wise cast out. I want you to finish the verses. I want you to think about them. People read their Bibles, but you don't take time to apply it to yourself. Put yourself in there. Realize that he's speaking to you. What can you learn from it? This is the knowledge of God. It has the answers. Another part of the message. All that come to Jesus are justified from the things they could not be justified in the flesh. There's personal needs. There's public needs. There's a providential need. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Going to look at some more scripture verses than some of you have read this week. Oh. John chapter 1, a providential need. Verse 10, this is speaking of Jesus. It said, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. They will one day. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? Born of God. There's a providential need. God wants you to know that you know. That's why I started in 1 John 5. These things are written that you might what? One, he wants you to know that you need him. And he wants you to know, once you're his, he has you. Amen? God wants you to know that you know. Oh, well, I did something I shouldn't have done. And I'm wondering, does God still love me? His love is based on his love and who he is. Love is something that you receive. It's not the give and take of human love. It's perfect love. And perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Love doesn't keep you from everything. Love goes through everything with you. We just were down at the Sight and Sound and watched Daniel Lancaster. I've read the book of Daniel 300 times. You know what happens every time I read that book? Three guys go through the fire every time, but they don't go through it alone. One man goes through the lion den every time, but he doesn't go through it alone. And you know what they do? They come out to the glory of God. He wants you to know. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. Get your fingers loose. Have I got to make you stop and wiggle them over your head again? 2 Timothy 1. Providential needs. That's providence of God. That's that special thing in your life. When you look for it, you will see it. When you don't look for it, you will never see it. Do you hear me? How many of you can attest to that? When you look for God, you want to see God working, you look through what He's brought you through. You can see it. If you don't look for it, you won't see it. You don't talk to Him, you don't believe He hears you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. No, I like 7. It's not one I need in the text, but I'm going to read it anyways because I like the verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Verse I want you for the text this morning, I want verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to my messes. Right? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, salvation has been in Jesus Christ in all eternity. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. You want to go to hell? Any other way to take you? You want to know how you are elected by the foreknowledge of God? The minute you accept Jesus Christ, because you get his eternal life. No end, beginning, no end. Okay? What is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the what? Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and is persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I believed. I know whom I'm persuaded by. I know what I have committed. You see that? That's providential. It's a need that changes the lives of those who will see the Son. Amen? Those are your personal needs, your public needs, your providential needs. Now, there's things that hinder our assurance, that hinder the confidence that God wants to give us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The first thing that hinders our assurance. These are particular problems we face that can cause doubt. Okay? How many of you ever doubted? Amen. Faith is trusting God even when you doubt. It's not the opposite of doubt. It's trusting God when you doubt. There's a verse in my Bible I love. It says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen. You still with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscience in the sight of God. In other words, living before them that they're not going to bring accusation. You see that? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Are you hearing that? Shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of who? Not of us. Goes on, he says, we're troubled on every side. Okay? You know what the biggest thing that brings doubt to us, that causes us to doubt, when we look around, you know what it is? It's an unbelieving world. That's what it is. It's an unbelieving world. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. They can believe in many gods. Been to India 5 times. Preached in over 50 churches. Preached up to 2,000 people at a time. And they worship 3,300,000 plus gods and goddesses. From the bugs to the rats, to the cows, to the monkeys, to the snakes. They don't worship sheep. They can eat those. They don't worship lamb. Many of them are vegetarians because you don't want to hurt a poor creature. Maybe your aunt and uncle from a previous time. Unbelieving world. Reason why do I make that point? Why is that a hindrance? Where do you get your information from? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have spent time on TikTok this week? How about YouTube? How about Facebook? Is that, that's Meta, right? It's Meta now? I don't know, because I'm not on Facebook. I got too frustrated. Okay? How about Snapchat? How about whatever they come up with? And how many of you have you spent more time than all those put together in your Bible? How many of you spent as much time in your Bible on a daily basis as you had perusing the news reports? They're an unbelieving world. They can't see the hand of God in what's going on. They have to fix it. They have to take care of you because you cannot take care of yourself. They have to make sure you don't make foolish decisions. Let them make the foolish decisions. Make your choices based out of where. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I can... might not sin against thee. Okay? So you got what's going on. You'll turn around. I love to hunt. I have to be careful. I could watch hunting programs. Okay? I'm watching my... My grandson, Kent, he loves to hunt and fish. Fishing more than that. He likes to be outdoors, likes to do different things like this. And we can talk about a lot of those things. You know what I like is happening with him? We can have spiritual conversations. He's leading the Bible study back home with his teens. That's an amazing thing. I'm not putting him on a pedestal. If you knew him, you can't keep him on a pedestal. He'll do something. All right? You say, what is it? Where are you looking to get your answers? It's going to bring confusion. It's going to bring doubt. It's going to bring worry. There was a time in Judy's in my life when I got hurt so bad and we had nothing. I was receiving $50 a week Social Security, just from Hammer Mill. $50 a week. Had no other money coming in. God paid our bills. Steve Ford gave us a deer. Someone else gave us a deer. Someone else gave us a deer. And there always seemed to be milk and bread, and our bills were paid. Amen. You know, at that time, we still gave to missions. You know what we learned? God always has you. Amen. You don't have to trust the world. They tell you, if you don't have this, you don't have that. You can't do this, you can't do that. They tell you, you got to have this. Parents spend so much time trying to make sure their children have more than what they had, they mess up their children. I listened to a report. Yes, it was on YouTube. They're interviewing this national child psychiatrist, and they're saying that conservative children have less fear and anxiety than liberal children. And they said the study showed that the reason is because the conservative parents parented their children, disciplined them, set rules and regulations, and stopped them, and did not cater to them, but tried to train them. Their words, neither of them saved, and said, so they end up coming out of that having greater confidence going forward. Because even a child left to himself, gee, it's amazing you can find any 73. Psalm 73. You have assurance this morning? Amen. Psalm 73. Bless the Lord. Oh, and that's Psalm 103. Psalm 73. There, right marker. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's what we get, Christians get caught up in that. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. Boy, I just want some of that. They got a phone. How come I can't have a phone? They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, as people return hither, and as waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. He's a little bitter, isn't he? That's a bitter heart of envy. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy people. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. The holy place, the place you go alone. Then understood I their end. Surely they did set them in slippery places. Thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before them. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me where? In the glory. Isn't that an amazing passage? You know what that's talking about? That's talking about an untaught church. We've got an unbelieving world. You got an untaught church. All across this nation, They don't know what the Word of God says about something. They set up a doctrine and then try to put the Bible into it instead of taking the Bible and basing their doctrine on it. I think that was kind of spoken about a little bit during Sunday school hour. Amen? It's an untaught church because they have unread Bibles. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his what? Meditate day and night, thinking upon what God says. It's an untaught church. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll try to close this up. That's hard for me to do that. You know that, don't you? Romans chapter 1, verse 13. An untaught church. You know how many times God says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren? Ignorant is not unable to learn. Ignorant is unknowing. And some people are unknowing because they haven't been exposed to it, and other people are willingly ignorant. Now, verse 13, Romans chapter 1. Ready? Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You know, there's knowledge in the world, and when it agrees with God's word, you can accept it. When it doesn't, you throw that worldly knowledge out. You don't get it from an unstable world. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, what? Just shall live by faith. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. Okay? The just shall live by faith. You get saved by faith, you live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. If you see it, it's not faith. We forsake time, we won't turn to them, but in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, it says, I don't want you ignorant. Be not ignorant. And the example is of Israel, who, even as they crossed the Red Sea, started to doubt God after all the miracles. So we have, don't be ignorant of the example of Israel, because our Bible tells us, Romans 14:5, is it? What sort of things are written aforetime are written for your learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's either 14:5 or 15:4. Okay, you hit your head as many times as me, you can mess that up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, be not ignorant. And that whole chapter is on spiritual gifts. And people put the emphasis on the wrong things. And at the end of the chapter, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 38 is talking about people who choose to ignore the information given them. And that is, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You can dispute and you can rage back and forth. It's not going to produce anything if they don't want truth. If there can't be quiet, confident discourse. Because when you give them Scripture, not your opinion, but Scripture, God gave a promise that His Word would not return unto Him void. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:8 tells us not to be ignorant, and the context is God's deliverance of us. 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Yes, he's at work in this world. He's the prince and power of the air, the god of this world, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. He's working satanic schemes behind the scenes because you can't see the spiritual things until you look to God for him to show them to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, we're told not to be ignorant that a trumpet is going to sound. Amen? We're not to be ignorant of the rapture and the second coming. 2 Peter 3:8 tells us not to be ignorant of God's timing. A day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. God's timetable. Don't be ignorant. You can find it in God's word. Because ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance brings fear, and ignorance brings anger. We're not to be ignorant, so don't be an untaught church. So you have an unbelieving world, you have an untaught church. These are things that hinder our assurance. The last one, I think, well, wait a minute here. Is that the last one? No, it's not. You're stuck. It's unstable feelings. Unstable feelings. How many of you are on the roller coaster of your emotions at times? They will betray you. It's not necessarily his favorite verses in the Bible, but pretty close. Howard loves these verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. What? And he shall direct you what? Your feelings will make you feel unloved one minute. They'll make you feel rejected. Okay? Because your feelings change. Right? You get up, you're hurting, you're cranky, you feel physically bad, so you act emotionally bad. Sometimes your feelings get you get all upset. Okay? And you know what we need to do? We need to then look to the Son. Amen? Amen. Your feelings will bounce you around. You cannot trust your feelings. Well, I'll love you if you love me. But if you're not going to love me the way you're supposed to, then I can't love you more than that. I'll accept you if you accept me, but don't hurt my feelings. I want you to know this morning my daughter rejected me 3 times. I came out with 3 different ties, and she goes, "Are you kidding me, Dad?" So she came in and I have 50 ties at least. And I'm going, she goes, "That one." So if you don't like the way I dress, blame my daughter and my wife. No. We let our feelings cost us so many times because feelings cause you to react in your emotions. God wants you to act upon his assurance of his love for you. Because his love gives. And he wants his love to flow through me so that I can give love. And love's not an emotion. Love is a choice of the will. The emotions will follow that choice. Feelings change. You need to know what is true, not how you feel about the truth. Do you hear that? You need to know what the truth is, not how you feel about it. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, that means expectingly. Do you expect when you pray God's going to answer your prayers? Come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's our great high priest. Okay? So you have the struggles that you deal with. You're dealing with an unbelieving world. You're dealing with an untaught church. You're dealing with unstable feelings, and they will cause you to doubt. Trust what God says, not how you feel about what God says. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, last one. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Luke chapter 13, 2 verses here. It's the last things that hinder our assurance that I'm going to look at this morning. You can have your own list. You can come up with more. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," on verse 34 of Luke 13. "Which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How oft I would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would what? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know what that is? That's an unwilling heart. An unwilling heart. When God speaks to you, you know what God would have you to do, and you say no. Doubt will come every time. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the..." I won't do that. I don't want to do that now. I'm not talking about someone making you feel guilty, making you feel like you're less, you're not doing this. If you don't come to the street corner, and you don't go to the nursing homes, and you don't work in the church, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, that's nuts. Okay? I'm talking about God bringing something as a conviction to your heart as you spend time in his word, and you get counsel on whatever is laid on your heart, and it compares and supports God's word. When you choose to go against that, doubts will come. Right? Do what you know God would have you to do. Amen? Okay. Last points we're going down through with provisions for us to keep and have assurance. You know something? The devil hates positive Christians. He hates positive Christians. I'm not talking about silly Sally Sunshine. Oh, my car smashed. Isn't God good? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having an attitude of gratitude. The devil hates that. I can do all things through Christ, which... I'm going to tell you something. It's a secret. If you learn it this morning, it'll carry you through. You ready? I got a question for you. Does God the Father love God the Son? Does he? Does the Father love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that he loves you and you and you and you as much as he loves his Son? It's a secret now. You're special. You have his love. It's an everlasting love. Never leave you nor forsake you. Will take you to be with him for all eternity. Will go through what you go through. Because the only time that Jesus did not have the presence of God in his life was when he became sin for me. I don't have that anymore. It can't happen to me anymore. It can't happen to you. You don't have to cry out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he will never forsake you. So in some ways, the Father's love of you is greater than the love of his Son. For God so loved that he gave his Son. God wants us to have assurance. He gives it to us when we look to the Son. John 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." The provision to keep our assurance is through his holy word. You got to go to it. You can't get away from it. It's through his Holy Spirit. He gave the promise of the indwelling of the Spirit to those who trusted in him. Romans 8, 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Can you hear the still small voice? The third way that assurance can come back to you is through your personal spirit when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. I can remember when I was a rebellious child at times. I can remember, but when I did what my dad and my mom wanted me to do and they were pleased, oh man, did I feel good. I felt good about myself. You know that? when I did what they told me to do and didn't go against what they told me to do, and it came out, man, didn't you? I just felt good about that. Because, you know, I was trusting them for that decision. And boy, it just made me be able to rest in that. Rest in that. You can have that assurance when your personal spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're done. I promise. I promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So even the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of who? Of God. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he which is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Believers, but we have the mind of Christ. Please stand. We have the mind of Christ. If you're in distress, if you're doubting, if you're discouraged, if you're confused, God is not the author of confusion. If you're looking around, you need to look to the Son. God wants you to have assurance of your salvation this morning. If you're not sure you're to die, heaven be your home, you come this morning. We'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can know, how you can receive, how that you can be confident according to the promises of God that heaven will be your home. Maybe you need assurance in leadership, in the leading of God in your life. Can you come? Kneel at the altar and ask him in a still small voice to say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lead me. Assurance of protection. He'll go through with you through the waters. He'll go through the fire. He'll go through the den. And he will bring you home. You can have assurance of protection. If you're afraid this morning, you come and you ask him to assure your heart and you rest in that love. The last one is assurance of a relationship that he will never break. If God speaks in your heart this morning, you need assurance in any area of your life, you come, let God speak to you.